This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldone. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 260 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
Okay, it's going to be... There's no quizzes. It's going to be very gentle, Avery. Oh,
thank you, because I have done a tough mother today. I am at
Lord have mercy.
The peak of my brain function.
Your pictures online did not look muddy enough. Were all those pre-Tough Mudder?
It was round Arthur's seat. So there's no mud there. And we've had such a wonderful, dry, warm summer that there's no mud. Oh, there's Fisher barking in the background. So there was no mud. There was no mud at all.
How do you have a Tough Mudder with no mud? That makes no sense.
I thought you had to bring the mud or make the mud.
Well, we thought maybe because there were so many people doing it, it would sort of, you know, make mud in the grass. But no, it was very... Uh-uh. Well, there's lots of pathways that we were on and, you know, running up round Arthur's seat and then back down again and did 10 obstacles. So it wasn't a very far one, but it was pretty exciting. My arms are killing me. My legs are killing me. My eyeballs are killing me. So, you know.
Okay, Summer, whom do we have the pleasure of? Wait, are we doing an interview now?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Huh. You just told me to show up. So you tell me what we're doing.
Oh, I hear a laugh. I think we're not alone. Okay, so Summer and I, it's all me. It's all my fault. We have to just jump in right away and welcome Scottish folk singer and hopefully now friend, Ailey Grant.
Of course
even I'm
a
saying
friend.
Summer,
oh, today. Of course I'm a friend.
She's like, wait a second. Wait, why were you doing this? And no, I'm just kidding. Okay, yeah. So, welcome, welcome, welcome. Oh my goodness. Haven't seen you in just a little while.
I know. It's not been that long. Too long, but not that long.
Well, Ginger doesn't remember all of the time we spent together, so.
Yeah, I'm not
you
surprised.
Stop it. Yeah. Stop it. Okay, so what I wanted to lead with, and I didn't tell this to Summer in case she was like, don't ask her that. What I wanted to leave with was... Not what Summer said. Lead with was not what Summer said. Thanks, Summer.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Which was, so what about that leaving dinner, Ailey? Do you remember any of it?
I do.
We all remember. We all remember the leaving dinner. It's the beginning dinner, the welcome dinner that no one remembers.
Oh, our personal welcome dinner? Uh-huh.
Well, I was fully sober for the personal welcome dinner.
Yes, okay, so Ailey remembers.
And I was fully conscious for the leaving dinner, too.
Yes, she was.
It was incredible. I still think it was a dream because it was so amazing. I loved it so much.
Every time. I just couldn't. I still can't. We just interviewed, it's just a weird week. We just interviewed Agav a few days ago. And, you know, just catching up again briefly before we got into the meat of our conversation. And then it just came up and we probably spent 10 minutes talking about it. Because not just that, well, I guess the dinner, the whole experience, the ship, their performance, everything. And it was just like, I mean, the alcohol, I can't get over. Oh, the food was ridiculous and the ship was ridiculous.
I was so spoiled that night. I thought that every meal should be served that way. With three my different wines and served together and not grabbing the plate off the man in front of me.
Oh, that was my favorite part, was watching everyone grab the plate or try to and then being like, nope, nope.
And trying to identify
but everyone did
as well. That was quite funny. Oh, it was just spectacular. And that cake.
Oh, gosh.
Amazing wedding cake.
It was a shame they wouldn't let us actually cut into that cake. Well, they're we made a wedding cake and no one's going to eat it.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But oh, my goodness. It was. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just remember, well, we weren't like attached at the hip or anything, but as we were walking around getting the pre-dinner, like the tour, mm-hmm. and they're like following you. No, 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 no. I mean, really, would you like some more champagne? I was like, dang, dude. Like following me around, trying to pour it down my gullet. Not really, but kind of. And we're going here. It was fantastic.
Oh, it was amazing. Are you doing it again?
We are doing it again, and you, I guess I can say we're doing it. Well, it's not a secret, right, Summer? It's on our itinerary. Mm-hmm. We're doing it again, but we're not doing it at on the yacht. We're doing it at Hopeton House.
Oh, I love there.
Aileen's like, I'm not coming. If it's not on the royal yacht, I'm not coming.
Hopeton House is beautiful, and I've performed there before, and it's amazing.
Oh my goodness. Did you perform inside or outside?
Inside.
Oh, okay.
In the red room?
In the chapel, in the wee chapel that's there.
In the chapel.
Oh, I don't think we went to the chapel, did we, Sam?
I think that must be off to the side. Is that part of the main house?
It's kind of attached to the house. It's a really sort of small room. It was beautiful. It was where the wedding was performed. So it was lovely. Really lovely.
Oh, was it a family?
I was booked to do it. So I didn't know the couple who were getting married, but it was just lovely. It was a really small gathering and it was just beautiful. And I remember all the seats, all the very ancient seats, you know, the antique seats, and they all had pine cones on them so you couldn't sit in them.
Yeah, they still do that.
I think I hadn't long had my second child and I was there in like a really tight dress feeling totally uncomfortable and really high heels thinking I really need to sit down somewhere and where's all these pine cones come from? Okay. So no, it's beautiful.
It's like when you go into a house where the people don't want the cats in the furniture and they've just got tape that's been double-sided and sticking on the chair because the cats don't like the tape. It's like that. It's that for humans.
The cats don't like tape.
With pine cones. Oh. No. They don't like things.
Well, they don't. If it's not sticky, they don't care. But if it sticks to them, yeah.
That's cool. No. I didn't know that. That's pretty good. I just realized Fisher, you know, our dog, she hates tape as well. She's petrified of it. She is petrified of this stuff. So we've just discovered that. So maybe she's part cat. I don't know.
Maybe. She's rather small. She's a small puppy.
Yeah.
So as we were walking around finishing up, I think it was it happened more than one time, but I was near Ailey. I think maybe it was me who stuck next to Ailey. I don't even know, but I was around her, I think.
Most for of the, it, yeah.
Her more than anyone else during the tour. And I just remember we were giving each other like googly eyes, like what the actual F? And when we got around, to where they just, this is where there's like a sliding, but it wasn't a slider. It was like big glass wall. Like, and this is where they stored their car. I'm like, wait, what?
It's the most beautiful car. And I've got the pictures of us there just looking as if like, where are we? How did we get here? What's happening?
Exactly.
When are they going to figure out we don't belong here and kick us off? That's kind of what I was waiting for.
Exactly. Like even when they had the champagne and the red carpet and the piper, I was just like, what? And people like down the end of the dock where they had, you know, the little barrier. It wasn't a lot. It was like not more than seven people. These people had their phones up and their cameras up watching us get on the boat. And I was like, no, really, you guys really don't need to do that.
We're not royalty, but we feel like it today.
we're just as impressed with a boat as you guys are with what you're seeing, potentially. I think we're more impressed because we saw the
It was just the most perfect night. It was just perfect.
Oh, wasn't it? I could cry with how amazing it was. It was the welcome, the tour, everything. Like, they have... Mm-hmm. That crew there, they have their jobs, their choreography, and there may be a better word for it, but it was down, like the timing, everything. They have it down so superbly that
it was effortless. That was just incredible. And you get spoiled with it because you think every time you go to a restaurant, it should be just like that.
I'm glad that that was the last tour we went on for the trip, because if that had been one of the first tours, I would have been like every other successive tour, been like, where's my champagne?
Yeah.
Where's the canapes? I don't understand.
Where's my personal butler? This is totally not acceptable.
Exactly.
Oh, it's just fantastic. Yeah. Oh, it was amazing.
And of course, we left and Ailey was hungry again.
That's right. And you... And you too, and Agav, right? You went off to let's find food.
You know what was stupid is Agav and I were not hungry, but the place that we found, because we couldn't find any other place that was open, because stupid Royal Mile, there's not a bunch food-wise, I guess, open that late at night. It was like a pizza joint, but they wouldn't let us just drink. They made everyone order an entree.
You ordered alcohol.
Or it's a very smart business move.
After eating on the royal yacht.
I know.
Oh, right.
So we had, we all had cheese pizza. Yeah. after dinner at the Royal Yacht.
Well, hold on. I'm not quite done with the yacht. I mean, I'm almost done because we do want to like feature Ailey here and not just reminisce right. publicly, semi-publicly on our show. But I have to say that and I'm going to tell you the same thing I told Aga, but hopefully be a little more succinct, which I know is a who knows. Okay, everything was wonderful, magical, like you said, effortless, seamless. And I think the thing that not shocked me the most, but surprised me the most. Like shock is like, oh, I can't believe that happened, right? Surprise is just, oh, what a great thing to happen. Is after the meal and they serve the beautiful dessert and everything, and then someone, one of the gentlemen, I think, whoever said, they opened the doors and they said, and now let us progress or whatever into the drawing room, and I was like, F sake, like when does this end? Yeah. I don't want it to end, but this just keeps getting better and better. And I think, I know I had tears in my eyes, but for the next hour or so, there was an open bar, another like seriously open bar, and like seating for almost everyone. People just sat and listened or talked, and Agav told stories. And I mean, oh, that was so magical, Ailey.
It was so special. It was utterly unique. And I'm sure it happens all the time on the Royal Yacht, but for us it was just this moment of perfection that we were caught in this lovely bubble of amazement, and it was perfect. The whole night was amazing. It was spectacular, and every time you thought it can't get better, and it got better.
Right? It's like, okay. It did. It was like the red carpet. Oh, that's really sweet. They did that for everyone. I'm sure they do. Or every guest like this, whatever. Oh, and then champagne as you get in. Oh, that's nice. And you're like, okay, you get a champagne when you board. Okay, that's not necessarily too unusual because there are a lot of places and fancy do's where you arrive and they give you a welcome drink.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, but then as you progress in groups around the yacht, there are people standing in every single room. Mm-hmm. With new champagne flutes and hors d'oeuvres and following you around. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so yeah, it was absolutely.
You almost sounded angry about that.
I'm not angry. I'm just like, I can't believe it.
We're angry that's it. It's not happening again.
I know, exactly. Actually, it may not be the yacht, but it is Hopeton House. And we don't have all the details yet, but we still have room on our tour. Ooh. So if you guys are listening to this and you want to join us, you can find out all the information, as well as price, itinerary, blah, 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 at podabroad.com. So, Ailey, if you were to, and I promise you, I'm not trying to use you as a seller, but you talked freely about how much you enjoyed it. I mean, obviously, just the leaving dinner, but yeah.
That was clearly her favorite part of our tour.
That was her only part of our tour. Well, I don't know. There was the pre-tour. There was the pre-tour.
The pre-tour was pretty good as well.
I don't know. I don't remember most of it. I'm just kidding.
Well, you had Ginger. Ginger, you had the most amazing time at the pre-dinner.
I have to take your word on that. Like, I don't remember how my pants got off and nicely folded across the chair. But I went to bed and...
That didn't happen in our house.
That didn't happen at Ailey's. That did not happen at Ailey's.
No.
And can I just say pants in Scotland mean something different?
Sorry. Oh, Lord, my jeans. It was at our hotel, not at her house. So I will say that there was something that I was trying to do with Ailey's remote control. And the reason I did it at a certain time is because it was getting time. Like, Summer and I, like, had to get back. I think Peter took us, but we had.
I think Peter was tired and wanted to go to bed. And the only way to go to bed was to drop us off at our hotel.
But whatever it was, we had to leave. And so then it was like, oh my gosh, there was something I had told Ailey I was going to do. And it involved a remote control and a password of something. So I'm like, oh, okay. And she gave me, this is all I remembered of that part. She gave me this. Her password. She gave me her remote, and I was still trying. Like, I was looking at the screen and looking down at my fingers, and Ailey, I must have tried like 8 times.
I think it was more 18 times.
And finally, I'm like, I'm so sorry. And Ailey's like, right, you guys gotta go.
I know, I think it was, anyway. I think you need to go and lie. You have a full tour ahead of you. This is not even the day one of the tour.
Okay, so on to our guest. So we've caught up, kind of, for the most part. So since we spoke last, or since we at least interviewed you last for your first album, Masks and Smiles, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we listened to a piece, we talked about your song selection, you know, your history, your upbringing, your training, and all of that. Before we get into your new album, how has your family been? Has there been any, have there been any changes in your professional life? Have you done anything in the last few years since we spoke?
Yes, I've been extremely busy. As most professional musicians are, I've taken on a few extra things, such as I wanted to get a music degree. So I've been back at university. I'm on to year three now, thank goodness. Trying to learn all the things about teaching, really, so I can make some extra money while I'm home with the children, because they're getting bigger now and they're both at school and I can't really be too far away from them now. I love touring and I do it as much as I possibly can, but I'm at the limit of touring without upsetting the kids too much, and I don't like being away from them as well. You know, I'm mummy and I miss them most of the time. I've got a new puppy, so she keeps me on my toes. Her name is Fisher, after Carrie Fisher. And the boys wanted Princess Leah, and I didn't want to shout Princess Leah in the park for my little yellow Labrador. So, so I call her Fisher, which is good. And she's pretty good. And we moved house as well. So we've been pretty busy over the last few years. And yeah, working on the album. The album has been in process for 4 years now, which is quite a long time for an album. But there's a bit of a story behind it. I started recording it in a studio called Big Sky Studio down in the Scottish Borders, which is a stunning place to go and visit. It was in a hotel. A friend of mine owns this hotel called the Gordon Arms in the Yarrow Valley near Selkirk. And it's a beautiful old hotel. It's on this crossroads and it used to be the stop off for carriages, horses and carts and things like that going from, you know, one town to the other a couple of hundred years ago. And it was actually where Wordsworth and Robert Burns would go and visit on their travels. So there's a wee plaque in the hotel dedicated to them. And while I'd recorded most of the tracks, I got the first sort of lay down of it. And we were, as a band, going on tour to Germany, heading to Switzerland, actually, when we got the phone call to say that the hotel was on fire. So unfortunately, the hotel burnt down, and with it, the original copies of the album, which really is, you know, not a big deal because I can re-record that, but the hotel was very badly damaged. But since then, they have been working on it, and my friend has managed to bring it back to a really stunning finish. It's actually much more beautiful than it was before. Very modern now, but very, very beautiful. And over the last year, I've been re-recording the album. So now it's finished, thank goodness. And yeah, so it's been a bit of a journey. I think it's well worth it. It's full of very old Scottish traditional songs, so, which is different from the first album. Masks and Smiles is very contemporary, but this one is more traditional.
Well, I could definitely hear the thread of it. I will say this, as we listen to your album, or as I listen to your album, having heard, and I am no Burns scholar, no, I'm not a musicologist, but if you are aware of Scottish, even a little bit aware of Scottish history, and even a little bit aware of Scottish culture, you would likely have heard of Burns. And if you're a musician, let alone a singer, which Summer and I are, then you probably definitely would have heard of Burns if you're a fan of Scotland or Scottish, you know, Scottish history or music. And so, of course, I'd heard Burns. And the first time I was ever introduced to My Love's Like a Red, Red Rose was, I'm sure, in high school or university choir. We sang some choral arrangement of it. It was really pretty. But having been having sung very, 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 very small bit of Burns, just with some local, you know, local Scottish band at some like Highland games, just having been exposed to it, right? I've heard a little bit, I heard more than I had heard before. And so hearing this album was like, it was like, not a breath, like water in a nice way, or nice rain. It was just like, I felt awash in Burns. And I know it's not 100% Burns, but it's so rich in Burns and so rich in so many of the songs that I've heard, that it was like a mini homecoming, but with a friend and her voice. It was so emotional and so beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to pick songs for this album that mirrored my passion of Scottish traditional music. A lot of it was, you know, Robert Burns songs, and they mean so much to me. They're not just, you know, songs from a book. They are songs that I've grown up with, and I wanted to. A lot of musicians now take Burns songs and they make them really fancy and very modern, and I wanted to sort of bring them back to the traditional form. And, you know, like John Anderson, My Joe, which is the opening track, is the most beautiful, haunting song of, you know, a relationship that started when they were young and now they're old. And, you know, it's just a really sort of beautiful progression. But there's also songs in there that are... not just Burns, they're Scots songs. They're Doric, which is from the northeast of Scotland, which is a dialect in itself. And there's even a few Gaelic words thrown in throughout the songs as well. So I've kind of got the, you know, Scots, Gaelic and Doric there, which was very important to me.
So you mentioned, well, you just explained the basic outline or the basic planning for this album. Did you want to have like an arc in the selection and in the sequence of your pieces? Mm-hmm. So not just in content, like you mentioned, obviously Burns, Doric, some a smattering of Scottish Gaelic, etc. And you did say you wanted your treatment of them to be more traditional. Was there anything in your organization, as well as selection perhaps, of why you chose one song over another that you wanted to accomplish with the album?
Yeah, well, there are so many Scottish songs that I could have picked, and there was maybe double the amount of songs in the final list that were recorded. And we worked through them, and the songs naturally progress on their own. They are very organic. When you start off with a song, you think, this is the way I wish it to go, and you take it that way, but then it takes on a life of its own, and then it develops that way. And then when some of the songs have a tune through them or an instrumental piece within the track, which are, you know, they are more modern tunes. They're written by my friend Stevie Lawrence, who's the guitarist and percussionist for the album. And they just fit so well with the song that we couldn't not put it in. So when we look at the final number of tracks, it was very easy to pick those 12 tracks. And I was adamant on having two a cappella songs, two unaccompanied pieces, because a lot of Scottish traditional songs are unaccompanied music. They are not played to, guitars or anything like that. And I wanted to keep them very simple and very emotional. That's, you know, my main aim was to get the real feel of the words and the story behind the songs in there as well. And the one song that I was very passionate about, that is something that I fought to make clear and have recorded on the album, was the song composed in August, which Robert Burns wrote when he was about 16 years old. And it is probably my favourite song of all time. And when you really get into the words of it, you realise what an artist he was, you know, at such a young age, to be able to write this piece of music that describes the Scottish scenery in autumn so beautifully. And he makes it passionate, it's political, and he has this, it's his neighbour, I think, called Peggy, and he writes it about her, or to her. And it's, you know, to be so passionate at such a young age is quite incredible. It's a true romance story with everything thrown into it. And that's why the album's called Charms of Nature, because within that piece, Song Composed in August, is, you know, all about the charms of nature, which he beautifully captures in the song.
Is that Westland Winds?
Westland Winds is another name for it, yeah.
I was like, wait, I don't have anything named August.
It's also, the other title is Westland Winds. So, yeah.
Well, that was my second favorite. Well, I'm going to call it my favorite because Ginger was like, nah, Red Rose is my favorite. And I was like, yeah. So I'm going to call that and then I'll have Westland Winds be my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, Red Rose is so simple and you don't need a whole lot of musicians in the background. And I think what we kept it with was guitar and fiddle. And when the fiddle comes in the second time through, I get goosebumps when I listen to it. I think the fiddle is just, Fiona Cuthell, who's the fiddler on it, is just so sympathetic and it's beautiful. So I'm so pleased with that track. I'm actually going to release that on SoundCloud tomorrow to let people hear.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm so pleased. Oh, my goodness.
Now I'm really pleased with the album.
Yeah. See, we did not know this. So if you're dropping Red Red Rose tomorrow, then we'll make this our next episode.
Okay.
And if you provide us a link, mm-hmm. A direct link where they can get it, we'll put it in the post.
Yeah. Fantastic. I mean, the album's not, you know, obviously released until the 22nd of September. So these are just audios. They're not downloadable. They're purely for a bit of...
Just to listen.
Just to listen to.
Oh, that's even better. Okay. Right now they can pre-order, right?
They can pre-order, yes. They can definitely pre-order.
Okay, so we'll definitely include a link to the pre-order and anything, and your website and your Facebook and anything and everything for you.
Yeah.
So Ailey has... said that we can share some of her songs from her upcoming album in our episode with her. And Ailey, what's the first song we're going to hear?
Well, I think the first song you'll hear will be Jock Hawk's Adventure to Glasgow. It's all about an Aberdonian who visits Glasgow for the first time. And he comes across this young lady, a quine, as a... In Aberdeen, they call lassies or girls quines and boys or men loons. And so he comes across this quine and she invites him to go to a pub. So they off they go and they go for a drink and they come across a whole load of sailors and they're lassies. And poor Jock at the end of the song has to pay for all their drinks because all the sailors have to leave very, very quickly. And so he ends up having to give over his jacket and his pocket watch and absolutely pretty much everything he has on him to pay for all the drinks. And he swears he'll never come back to Glasgow again because it's such a terrible place. But I think it's a really funny song. So, yeah, that's quite a good one. And it's very like a Cayley. It's very much very atmospheric. If you go and visit, say, like the Isle of Bar or the Oran Mór or the Ben Nevis on Argyle Street in Glasgow, you will hear music like this. It's very, very much a session type of song.
Long where the organ lads are playing and the fiddlers ain't her pocket. Turn the Till day was drawn clear, and then the sailors factor cried, all hands on deck appear. Turn the high dum a do, turn the high dum day, turn the high dum a do, turn the high dum day. The lasses gave the part and kissed the lad, he said goodbye. The hen was staying as he went to so jockey that a pie. Turn the high dum a do, turn the high dum day, turn the high dum a do, turn the high dum. Watch and chain from me, my spoken and my knife. I wonder that it attacked my little spark of life. Turn the high thumb a do, turn the high thumb day, turn the high thumb a do, turn the high thumb day. They stripped me of my brawn, your coat, my waistcoat, and my shun. My hickaboon, I never sort since first I had a gin. Turn the high thumb a do, turn the high thumb day. Turn the high come day. I came into the world of being sea naked and sea bare. I came out to Glasgow and I'll never gang me there. Turn the high come do, turn the high come day. Turn the high come do, turn the high come day. Turn the high come do, turn the high come day. Turn the high come do, turn the high come day. Turn the high come do, turn the high come day.
So Jock Hawk is something that is featured the Doric.
Yes.
And that's from the Aberdeen area, correct?
Yes, Aberdeenshire. So northeast of Scotland.
And what are we going to hear next? What's our second feature going to be? And who is it by? And is it of the same area?
It's not of the same area, and this one is by the very famous Robert Burns, and he is from my neck of the woods, and this is probably the most romantic song and probably his most famous love song, and this is called My Love Is Like a Red, Red Rose.
My love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. Oh, my love is like a melody that's sweetly played in tune. As fair
Okay, Ailey, so this has been one of my favorite burns. Honestly, probably the first, my gateway burns. That was probably the first song I ever.
Is that a thing?
Gateway burns. I love it. I'm going to use that.
You should. It's free. I won't charge. But no, I think it was my gateway burns. I think that was the first thing. And I mean, it's very possible because he was so prolific, right? It's very possible that I heard something else before that. But again, I remember either in high school or university doing a choral setting.
We did it in high school.
Oh, see, gracious. And it was, so Summer was even younger.
It was like operatic-ish, like classical. It didn't sound folksy or anything remotely like this. Yeah, it was not, it did not
feel
like
you'll probably
like this.
Find that everybody knows a Burns song and everyone knows one. And we, you know, when I go around Europe, I'll say, does anyone know Robert Burns? And they'll say, no, never heard of him. Well, you'll know one song and you'll go, right, I'll sing it together. Here we go. And it's Auld Lang Syne. Everybody knows the words to Auld Lang, or at least knows the tune to Auld Lang Syne. So everybody around the world knows this song, you know, and they know Robert Burns. But My Love Is Like a Red Rose is, you know, it's a very different type of song. And it's beautiful. It's just a beautiful love song and it's timeless. You can apply this in 100 years' time, in 1,000 years' time. It's the words still mean exactly the same. That's the beauty of Robert Burns. It's all, it's beautiful, timeless music.
Until we have, you know, like the true apocalypse and kill all the roses on the planet. And then people will be like, what do you mean your love is like
goodness.
A red rose? What's a red rose?
Where did we go from?
What is spring? What is spring?
It's like the apocalypse.
Oh,
just
my
saying,
goodness.
As long as there's roses, people
will
understand.
If you listen to this
burns.
In 1,000 years, we are sorry.
There you go. Or at least this song.
Yeah, really sorry.
We're sorry
I'm
we
really
killed your roses.
They smell amazing. So.
Oh my goodness. Well, yeah, they do. And a side note about roses, this is completely side note or sidebar or whatever, but it's completely true. So I have two kitties. You're like, uh-huh. Well, whenever I see beautiful flowers or whatever, or plants, like I want to bring them home. But as a responsible pet person, like you guys probably do, not just with your dog, but also with your kids, you make sure the things you have around besides the food you're feeding them with is hopefully safe.
Nope, we're full on Darwin over here. Survival of the fittest. So, if you can't survive what we bring home, you didn't deserve to.
For example, lilies are toxic, I think, to dogs as well, but lilies are very toxic to cats. So obviously I don't bring home lilies. So I always check, you know, Google, Dr. Google, whatever, to see, is this safe, blah, blah, blah. And as I was just saying, look, I'm getting sick of checking all the things. I need to have a site that just tells me what is okay. Cause I can't, it's too much to worry about, but I want to find what the stuff that is safe. So I know what to stick to. And guess what's safe? Roses.
Aww.
I'm on board because I can actually bring them into my home. Okay, so that's Love is Like a Red, Red Rose. I agree. It's timeless. It's gorgeous. And I love hearing, like I said, even though Summer, I don't think she was being disparaging. She might have been.
What? But,
hold on. Even though it was definitely not traditional Scottish version of it, setting of it, the choral setting, or at least the ones I've heard and I've done, have been very beautiful. Mm-hmm. They're just not romantic.
They're not romantic. They don't invoke.
You don't have a choir singing to the lady you want to marry. Yeah.
You could though, but I'm just saying it doesn't evoke the same kind of warmth and loving feeling that I think the original and the other arrangements do.
I agree. But what I'm saying is it may not evoke the same thing. And that's actually, I think it's supposed to be that way because every setting is different and it's going to, thus the emotional, the outcome is going to be different, or the event, the effect is going to be different. So we've talked about a very few different settings of it and how Summer and I much prefer the traditional setting of it. Can you tell us a little bit about is there a story behind Red, Red Rose, or was it just a pretty, it's pretty words?
No, there is a story behind it. Well, there's several stories behind it, and nobody's entirely sure which one is the correct one. And so there are people who say that he collected this, and there's people who say he wrote it. So, I mean, there's so many mixed, you know, signals when it comes to the story that there's not one definitive story that I can tell you, but it is one of his most famous songs that he took and maybe made it better, or he wrote it entirely himself, or took a tune and put it to the words. We just don't know, because he's, you know, Robert Burns collected a lot of poems and songs and stories from all over Scotland, which kept, you know, very particular and very unique dialects and cultures within Scotland because of, the landscape of Scotland isolated a lot of communities. So they kept this very sort of close-knit community. And so he travelled around and collected all these stories. So we're not entirely sure. I mean, there's so many songs from Scotland that are listed as trad, you know, traditional, because we don't know the origins of it. And so that's just another example of Robert Burns' work. So,
did you realize that you were going to be expected to be a Robert Burns scholar when we invited you back on the podcast?
I know a fair amount of Robert Burns information. I there's so many books. My father is a big collector of Robert Burns books that goes into a lot of detail behind each song. And but My Love is Like a Red Rose is one of these ones that is very, vague in the origins, unfortunately.
Well, I figured you would have, you may not be a scholar per se with letters behind your name for that. But I figured in number one, you definitely, these are part of your DNA. They're part of your soul. You grew up with them. So you're just by virtue of having your upbringing, you would have gleaned much more than the average American, let's put it that way. But also, you're a singer, mm-hmm. so you have an extra reason for interest. And you've now done an album where you selected, you sought out pieces to include, and you had more than the 12 that you, mm-hmm. you recorded more than the 12 that you selected. So I just figured you may not be an expert, but you're probably going to know at the very least, you're going to know as much as possible about the songs that you mm-hmm. chose. So that's why I asked, because I thought, well, she'll know better than me.
Yeah, I mean, my as I say, my father was my father's an Aberdonian, and he can speak Doric. And when he came down to the west coast of Scotland, he just found this passion for Robert Burns, and so he started collecting all these books. And I was fascinated with them from a very young age. So these are songs I've grown up with. But there's also another connection there. I'm not sure if I've told you this before, but I'm actually related to Robert Burns. So I feel it's part of my heritage to be able to sing these songs and keep the tradition going.
No, I think you skipped that part.
It's like a cousin's uncle's mother's grandfather.
It's from the Jean Armour, you know, Robert Burns line. So one of the official ones.
Very cool.
Yeah, but it was, you know, Robert Burns did like his women, so.
Yes, he did.
Spread the love around a little bit too much.
Literally. We're going to, my love is like a red, red rose. I pluck them everywhere.
That grows in every garden.
Oh,
yes.
We're going to title this episode, An Interview with a Descendant of Robert Burns. Oh, Lord. Girl, you're keeping all the goodies to yourself.
Yes, unlike my ancestor.
Oh, God. Oh, this is getting better and better. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, clearly you're doing all of these traditionals and, you know, mm-hmm. written way back songs, not mm-hmm. not contemporary ones. Do you ever find it frustrating that almost, I would say, 80 to 90% of them are all written from the dude's point of view? You have a song where you literally say, my name is John Anderson.
Yeah, I know. And the other one is another one. My name is Jock Stewart. Yeah. Well, there's, you know.
That's what I meant.
Yes. But Robert Burns actually did write a few songs from the women's perspective as well, which was pretty good. Yeah, it can be a bit frustrating, but, you know, I'm also a songwriter, and I've been working on my next album, which is back to sort of more contemporary with a little bit of a country theme running through it as well. And so I tried to keep the songwriting tradition going from the women's point of view. So, yeah, there wasn't, you know, a prolific amount of female songwriters back in the day. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these songs probably were sung by the women, you know, the ones that were, you know, like the walking songs. They were very much a traditional woman's song. And, yeah, I just have to, you know, just keep going with it. These songs are too beautiful to then, you know, say, oh, no, they're for a man. I'm not singing that. There's a few songs you can take.
No, of course not.
Like My Love is like a Red, Red Rose. You can actually, there's only a few times where it refers to gender, and you can actually switch the gender on it without it being too, you know, detaining from the song. Well, John Anderson, My Joe is definitely from the women's point of view, because it's, you know, you're singing about your man, John Anderson.
Very specifically about a specific man. And I thought to myself when I first started hearing that, I was like, you know, not a lot of people can say that the song is specifically about this dude. Like, you're like, oh, they have the first name or something that evokes a name. But like, no, this is about John Anderson. Specifically John
Anderson.
He's
now the Silver Fox.
Specifically John Anderson. Right? Like, could you imagine being named John Anderson now and never having heard the song, and you pick up an album and you put it in and you're like, yeah, John Anderson.
I do know a few John Andersons, and every time I speak to them, I'm like, can I sing you a song?
So I believe we have one more to share.
Track number 11 on the album, which is In Friendship's Name, which is a fantastic end of the night song. And it's really basically about friendship, which in Scotland you would say friendship. And it's about getting together and just enjoying the time that you have, living in the moment. And, you know, the fourth verse is probably the best verse of the whole song, because it says, "Friendship makes us all more happy. Friendship gives us all delight. Friendship consecrates the drappy, which is the drink, and friendship brought us here tonight," which is very appropriate for, you know, I think, our friendship, Summer and Ginger. So
Here's what I think, and I'm calling it now. Pod Abroad 2019, Hopeton House, if Ailey comes, she sings the song. I will sing the low harmonies, and Ginger can sing the high harmonies, and we make it a trio.
I think that'd be perfect.
It's gonna happen. I'll practice.
How many verses are there?
I think there is 4 verses, but you repeat. This is off the top of my head. yeah, it's 4 verses, and then you repeat the first one, so it's 5. But yeah, I think it's just a fantastic song, and you're just about enjoying the moment in life, because you don't know what's around the corner.
Well, I can say I just learned a new term, and I was definitely consecrating some drappy at your house. All the whiskey.
Well, you definitely were.
Yeah. And wine, if I do remember.
I think you finished the whiskey.
No, I finished the wine.
You definitely finished the wine. I'm pretty sure you finished the whiskey. God,
I'm so sorry, Peter. I'm so sorry. I only say that because I know that Ailey does not like whiskey. So I finished off something that Peter, I think, liked.
Oh, no. It's there. You know, that's the beauty of coming to a Scottish household. They just come in, drink. Keep going. It's fine. It's better than a cup of tea.
Yes. Go consecrate some drappy, y'all. So, Ailey, would you lead us into the last song?
Yes. And I think you're about to hear the traditional Scottish song called In Friendship's Name.
Here at in the ingle blazing, why say happy and say free? Though the gnarling winds blow freezy, friendship warms both you and me. Happy we've been all together, canty we've been yin and all. Time shall see us all mair blither, ere we see the miser out his treasure, gloating way a greedy ee. Wha can fill his woes with pleasure, as around him here we see. Happy we've been all together, canty we've been yin and all. Time shall see us all mair blither, ere we'r eyes to gang awa'. Thus then let us all be tassin, though e'er the stoop's o' generous fame, and while round the board is passin, raise a sang in friendship's name. Happy we've been all together, canty we've been yin and all. Time shall see us all mair blither, ere we rise to gang awa'. Friendship makes us all mair happy, friendship gives us all delight. Friendship consecrates the drappy, friendship brought us here the night. Happy we've been all together, canty we've been yin and all. Time shall see us all mair blither, ere we rise to gang awa'. Happy we've been all together, canty we've
So Ailey, you mentioned earlier that there are two songs on this album that you have that are a cappella. And this one is partly a cappella. It's a cold open, right? There's no, it's just you.
It's just me. And I have overdubbed harmonies to give a fuller effect. You know, when you're singing a song about friendship, you really want to have other people there. Yes. But it's just me.
That's true.
This is a song I perform with the Celtic Quines, which is a Scottish girl band that I'm in, where we do sort of three-part harmony work, and we have the three of us, myself, Catherine McLeod, and Celine Donoghue, arranged this piece of music. But as the album was progressing, they didn't have time to come down and record it with me, which was what I'd wished. So it was up to me on my own, but using their arrangement. So it was, you know, they're in there somewhere.
They're there in spirit and in your ear.
Yeah. And Catherine did do the flute and whistle throughout the album. And Celine did the banjo parts for this one. Not for that song, but for Jock Hawk and one of the other songs, which I think is Jock Stewart.
I was going to say, whoever did the woodwind, it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous. Oh, my goodness.
It was a mix between Stevie Lawrence, who he used to play with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And
sorry.
Do you know them?
No. It's a very clever name. Yeah,
it's a clever name.
That's why I laugh.
Yes, and he's fantastic at the sort of woodwind, but Catherine also plays the flute through it and does some tin whistle, which I think is very effective as well.
And did you play any guitar on this, or were you purely vocal?
Purely vocal for this one, yeah. Stevie is such an expert on the guitar that it would be embarrassing to try and actually join him on it.
I have to see where I wrote it down or where I typed it up, because one of the people, I mean, all of it was gorgeous, do not get me wrong, but something that stood out to me,
because he plays the bouzouki on it as well, which is the most bizarre instrument, but it's so good.
I was like, did you just say the bouzouki?
The bouzouki, yeah.
Oh wow,
is that because it was either that or a pizuki, which is a confectionery thing in a restaurant in the States.
No, it's definitely a bouzouki.
Like a bassoon? Is it like a bassoon mixed with something else?
No, it looks like a guitar, but mixed with a lute, if you know what a lute looks like. Yeah,
yes.
So it's a bit like that. Maybe
I'm Googling that right now.
More banjo-esque. I don't know. It's an instrument in itself. It's very, very rhythmical style of playing.
So there are several songs. I know this is not the only one, but this is the first one, actually, only one I wrote it down on as I was going through. And then I realized, or not realized, but I know he does more than one solo. But the one that I wrote down, I think it was because of in the sequence of songs, it was the first one, was and of course, because I'm predisposed to like, just listen to it 27 times, is My Love's Like a Red, Red Rose. Mm-hmm. And it's not his plucking. What is the term? Just his soloing?
No, it would be the style of playing is finger picking.
Finger picking. Oh, it was so gorgeous.
It's just, yes, it's amazing.
And was he like, not freestyling, but was that completely vamped?
No. We it was arranged before it, but a lot of the music, there were six tracks that we did live takes of, which are on the album, which were one takes, like Westland Windsor, song composed in August, was a live take that we did, which we didn't overdub in any way. You know, it was just the moment. And we tried it a few times, but, we kept going back to that one track that we recorded live, and it was just the emotion in it, the way he played it. And My Love Is Like a Red, Red Rose was another one of those tracks where we recorded it live. And it just had the right feel to it. And then we came back with overdub of fiddle, and that's really all that's on the track. So, and John Anderson, My Joe Again, was another live take. So you'll hear, flaws within it, but I think that gives it an authenticity. It, you know, the track is raw in a way which I wanted. I wanted to have that there. I didn't want it cleaned up too much, making it too perfect. So I was just think that's perfect. That one, that's the perfect take. And then there's others where you overdub and overdub and overdub, and you think, right, I have to stop. I have to stop going over this.
I have to let it go at some point.
I have to. So yeah, no, I'm really, you know, Stevie Lawrence is just incredible to work with. All of them were really, but yeah, Stevie, I worked with him most because he, you know, arranged quite a lot of the material, and he has quite a few of his tunes in there as well, which I think are absolutely beautiful.
Well, now that the album is complete and you're working to, you know, it's coming up. When does the whole album drop?
Yep, the album will be released on the 22nd of September. So I'm having a little CD launch in the local village hall, and then it will be, albums are available to pre-order, and I'm going to be sending them out before the launch date, so they'll have them for the 22nd or, you know, post dependent. So hopefully people will receive it on the morning of the 22nd, which is a Saturday, and they can listen to it and hopefully enjoy it.
I could see it would be perfect for nursing your Friday night hangovers. Put it on, get some like tea or coffee and just warm clothes and a blanket and just listen.
I hope this comes out the right way. And the reason I'm starting with that is because what I'm about to say is not meant to include you in a category of things I would normally put under this category. What Summer just said made me think, you know what? Even though there is, in both of your albums, but we're looking at this one. Even though there's a common theme, right? It's Scots traditional. And there's some Gaelic, there's some Doric. But even though it is very thematic, they're related, they also have different levels. And I don't mean sound. I mean, they have different moods. They have different instrumentation. They have different, you know, a cappella. They have different, I guess mood is the best, or emotion is the best way that I'm trying to explain this. So it's not like everything's sad, everything's happy, everything is jovial, right? Everything's joking. So there's enough range. There's a range. That's what I was going for. There's a range in the emotion. There's a range in the music. There's a range in the tempi. So you can, even though there's a range, it is still not like so crazy, like something, nothing like sticks out, right? Nothing sticks out to not belong is what I'm saying. So even though it's a range, I could say that someone could listen to this, even if they don't want to get up and dance for an hour or sit and drink for an hour, someone could listen to this as a type of easy listening album.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to put it. You know, there's nothing obviously sticking out like a sore thumb going, what on earth is that doing on the album? I think it all fits together and has a good enough, you know, variety. You know, there's variations there that doesn't leave somebody bored, hopefully, thinking that that's not enough excitement. There's fast tunes in there, there's slow tunes, there's a cappella, and there's songs in there that, you know, for somebody just picking up a traditional album that might not be familiar with Scottish music, there'll be songs there that they will know, like Wild Mountain Time wasn't my obvious choice to put on the album, but it had been requested by several people. Please, can you record Wild Mountain Time? So that went on the album. And as you say, you know, My Love Is Like a Red, Red Rose and Aphon Kiss, they're more common ones that hopefully gets people's attention and then pulls them into the other songs, which hopefully they'll like too.
And so the album is available for pre-order. We will include the link in our show notes. And when they go to pre-order or order after the day, is it available both as a CD as well as an MP3?
It will be available on iTunes and Spotify and Amazon, I think. I need to double check that one actually, but definitely iTunes and definitely on Spotify. But also available as well on through my website for the physical CD. And I'm quite excited about that. I think it's got some lovely artwork on it. I've gone for a typical Scottish theme, there's a thistle added in there and a dandelion head. And it's the, you know, where you, I don't know if this is quite the thing all over the world, but you blow the, you know, the wishes away. Yeah, which is for my children, because I have this, you know, video of my two boys. Murray had just learned to walk, wasn't talking yet. And Ruri, my older son, he was, I think he was maybe about 3. His speech is very much, you know, babyish. And he's holding this dandelion making wishes. And it's a very precious bit of video for me. So I've included the a dandelion head within the artwork as well. I try to make things as personal as possible. And so it's a little hidden message to them in there for them.
Now, you mentioned Spotify. Do you have that? I'm guessing you have a Spotify channel, and why am I not following you?
you've asked me a really impossible question now, because I don't really know. It was set up for me, so I need to.
Okay. So I'm looking right now. Sorry, I am multitasking. I just did a quick search for Ailey Grant, and there is, you are a featured artist there, and I think it's from your first, only your first album right now.
On Spotify, the new album will be on there from the 22nd of September.
So. Okay. So you know what? I must be following you already, because all it says is shuffle play, which you only get if you follow someone, I think. But anyway, yeah. So she's on, Ailey is on, hello. Ailey is on Spotify, you guys. And so are we. You can find us all. You can find us all there.
I do have a SoundCloud account where I have some tracks there which feature, they're from different albums. They're not just Masks and Smiles or Charms of Nature. There are other albums that I'm on which are there as well. So,
oh, nice. So we'll get all the links and make sure to include that in the show notes. And if for some chance we don't get it by the time this goes up, there's always the edit feature. We will make sure ultimately all the links are included. Thank you so much for joining us, for allowing us to share more of your music, for reminiscing with us about our welcome dinner.
Hey, and thank you. No. Thank you for bringing me my purse with my passport in it to Glasgow Cathedral.
Oh, no,
the day after I left it.
It was a great adventure up to Glasgow.
Thank you.
It was so funny. I loved it. I had Ruri, I think, in the car as well. So he was delighted. He was absolutely delighted.
You did. He would pass out the back.
Oh, no, it was good fun. You looked a bit tired.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Ailey, so much for joining us and letting us share your music again and chatting about not so old times, but, you know, some recent times and sharing more about your family and your journey since we last caught up on our show. And we hope that you might be part of 2019.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. I've loved it as always. I love speaking to you guys. It always makes me so happy. And Ruri and Murray, say hello.
Oh, hi.
They love seeing you.
I spent 20 minutes this morning trying to teach my daughter how to say Ruri. She's like, because I was like, here's how it's spelled and here's how you pronounce it. She's like, she's like, Rory. And I was like,
yeah,
close enough.
Definitely close enough. And Murray still wears his Harry Potter outfit.
Oh, so adorable.
Oh, that was my favorite.
Did you see Ron Weasley?
I didn't see him. Did you see him?
Oh, that's right. When he popped in the room.
Because Murray missed him.
That was adorable. I remember that. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, thank you so much. And we can't wait till we see you again hopefully next year.
Oh, no. Oh, definitely next year. You're not getting away with not seeing me.
Nope. Okay. So, again, thank you so much. I'm sure Summer feels the same way. We love having you on. Oh, okay. She doesn't.
Nope.
We love having you on. We can't wait till you have another album or another. You don't even have to have that. Just we'll have you on again before your next album. Okay.
Read along.
Read along. Yes. Holy crap. Yeah. Yes, girl. You got to help us finish Drums of Autumn.
Yes, I shall. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. It was a pleasure as always, and we can't wait to chat again.
And can I just add one more thing?
Of course.
I have a big, big thank you to Summer for when you departed Scotland, you left Summer behind. And we've had the most we've had the most amazing weather.
I do what I can. Honestly, know I brought it with me. I wasn't sure it would stay, but I'm glad I was able to help you guys out. Week,
and now it's, well, it's probably the average temperature it should be, but it feels very, very cold because it's just been that warm here. So thank you. Can you come back and leave again?
You are so welcome. You are so welcome.
It's been brilliant.
Thank you to our generous partner, Zencastr, who offers high-fidelity podcasting. Check out Zencastr and use coupon code OUTLANDER20, OUTLANDER20, for 20% off 3 months or 20% off for a year. Connect with us. Visit our website at outlanderpod.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/outlanderpod. We'd love for you to join our Facebook community at outlanderpod.com/group. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at outlanderpod.